Bacchus, how you doing?
Fantastic, like usual.
Oh, nice, nice. Now, sometimes I think there's too many studies done. I just want to preface that. But I do want to talk to you about a study that just came out. And you know, I don't necessarily agree with it, but I want to get your thoughts. It basically said that it's virtually impossible for human beings to lose weight long term.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, well, basically the stats that this study showed was that about 5% of people trying to lose weight keep that weight off longer than 2 years. So it's very difficult for people to have successful weight loss long term. A lot of people can lose weight for the short term if they follow some sort of gimmicky diet and radically change how they live temporarily, but it's not something they can sustain. And there's a lot of reasons why people can't lose weight long term. So I think there's about four or five that I can think of. Number one is that we are basically programmed in our DNA to be efficient conservers of energy and to store fat. So we're basically fighting DNA. And this is like from our prehistoric ancestors, like in times of famine. If you didn't eat and you used up a lot of energy, your body would lower its metabolic rate and store fat as a primary form of survival. We still have that in our DNA. And the problem is that in our society, there's no problem getting food any time of the day we want. And the amount of energy we exert has drastically dropped off.
So now there are people, I've seen a lot of people who lose weight and then they keep it off long term, but obviously it depends on the amount of it. So what can people do then to become part of those people that have success keeping off the 5, 10, 20, 100 pounds that they want to lose long term?
Yeah, that's what I think is going to have to happen. I think as a society, a lot of things are going to have to occur before we all, you know, work together to lose weight. But you can be one of those 5% like you were mentioning there. And I guess some of the strategies for you is to figure out what specific for yourself is the obstacles that prevent you from making smart decisions in forms of energy expenditure and eating choices. One of the things that human beings have is they have these pleasure centers in your brain, right? Everybody has, we've had that since the dawn of man. And those pleasure centers of your brain, they motivate you to do things. So if you are freezing cold, those centers in your brain say, hey, you better find some warmth and make some fire soon. If you are thirsty, you're going to be seeking water. If you're hungry, you're going to be seeking food. So when it comes to food, in the past, a piece of fruit would have been sufficed as a big treat. It would have been so pleasurable. People would be like, wow, I just got a piece of fruit that was so sweet and tasted so good. Now what's happened is the pleasure centers of our brain have become so desensitized, fruit doesn't do it anymore. You need a big double scoop of chocolate Häagen-Dazs ice cream to get that same effect because they're desensitized. So what you've got to do is find out what gives you pleasure through food and try to eat small amounts of it on the occasions that you really need it. People that have a lot of anxiety, stress, and depression, they tend to need that pleasure from food more so than people that don't. So you got to find out what's causing that anxiety, stress, and depression. Maybe give it a little bit of pleasure through food, and then the rest of it, you have to sort of figure out other ways of pleasuring yourself.
Now, I think the study, when I read it, I was like, yeah, okay, you know what, people. To me, the key is, how about we try to prevent getting obese? Because if the stats say that only 5% of people, once they're there, are never going to be able to lose it, we've got to find a way to have fewer people obese. And the studies definitely show that if we start young being obese, and this generation is the biggest generation we've ever had, you know, bigger than the parents. They say it's, you know, the life expectancy is lower than our parents. That's never happened before. And a lot of it's coming from the obesity factor. So how can we get the message out? Do you think it's government? Is it parents? How do we stop having, and I hate to say it, fatter kids?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And, you know, the reason you do have to start young, but I don't even know. This research basically saying even if you start young, the way our society is built right now, it wouldn't even matter because we live in an obesogenic environment. Like everything we do in society right now is about reducing energy expenditure. So we're building transit to drive us in from the, you know, get us in from the suburbs to the downtown core. We're spending more times in the car commuting. Everybody's sitting at a desk all day long, working on a computer. Those are the type of jobs and that kind of, you know, positions your body's going to be in throughout the day. So until we're ready to change how society functions with where there's more energy expenditure, and then until we as a consumer say to big food company, hey, you know, I'm not going to give you any more of my consumer dollars because you're feeding me cheap food that is poisonous to my body just so you can make a profit. I think that's where the government's going to have to step in a bit, because human beings can't seem to help themselves, and put some legislation and say, okay, McDonald's, Kentucky Fried Chicken, if you want to sell this food, you've got to meet some minimum dietary standards of nutrition to sell that stuff. And I think we got to put some guidelines, because right now there's no guidelines for these fast food companies at all.
Or I guess they go the other way and just to increase the price like they did on cigarettes, right? They tried to tax cigarettes so high and make it so expensive that fewer people would smoke.
Right. You could try to do that. And then you can try to make food such as fruits and vegetables and stuff like that that's more nutritious, not as expensive for the average family. Like, the average family can go to McDonald's, feed four people for under $20. Right. So, you know, healthier food does seem to be a little bit more expensive for some people to get access to. So I think we need to make that food a more desirable choice by making it cheaper. And maybe you do have to charge $10, $15, $20 for a Big Mac if you want to indulge.
When you look at all of these studies, Paul, and, you know, your whole job's on it, like, how many of them do you think are legit? Like, because it seems a lot of the studies are fear-mongering studies.
Yeah, you know what? And that's another thing. We had a gentleman come in, Dr. John McGavick, and he talked about that. He does studies his whole life. And he says a lot of the studies, they don't give you really valuable information, because all they're doing is a lot of them just offer a questionnaire to somebody and saying, hey, how many times a week do you eat fruits and vegetables? And, of course, people are going to exaggerate. Oh, yeah, I eat them at least 2-3 times a week. How many times a week do you exercise? Oh, yeah, I do this and that. So a lot of the times you're not getting really valid information for the study, and you have to look at how it was conducted, how many people participated in, was it duplicated by other people? So, yeah, you've got to look and, you know, understand what that study is, because you can get a study on anything to almost make people believe anything you want to make them believe. So I think for yourself, the only way you can sort of survive is, you know, try to minimize the damage you're doing with your kids with fast food and food products, and try to surround yourself with people that have that that are in that 5%, that have that like-mindedness of being active and having good, healthy choices when it comes to food. Because if you're in that environment, you have a much easier chance of making those same decisions if you want to hang around those people. So you got to get in that environment. It's becoming harder and harder every day, though.
It is. It's very true.
Oh, yeah.
Paul, always good to talk to you, man. I love it. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.